101.7 The Truth. Time to officially tap in with your girl, Jazz Tyler. Happy Monday, Milwaukee. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hope you had an incredible weekend. For once, I was able to take some time for myself, my family, chill out a little bit, stay out the way. Again, happy Monday. Thank y'all so much for tapping in. Today, we are going to get right down to business. There's a lot going on. We know that it's elections week. But I want to speak about something that hits home personally for me as not just an educator, but as a mother who has three children who have been in multiple different school districts. And what I mean by that is my children were in three different school districts while they are all were in school at the same time. And the reasoning being is because they learn different. They have different personalities, and different talents. And we're going to get more into that. But the question that I have for you all today is, who gets to choose a child's future, right? School choice, poverty, the parent choice, opportunity, and the fight over who gets access. When choice really isn't a choice. The conversation we're having today is not political. Trying to make it political without making it partisan. But underneath all of the campaign speeches and the talking points, there's a lot of arguments about vouchers, public schools, private schools, and funding. And there is a child that somehow gets lost inside of all of the rhetoric. So I want to strip all of the politics away for a minute and ask something much simpler. My hard question for this hour, Truth Nation, is who gets to decide where a child should go to school? Is it the government? Is it the school district? Is it a zip code? Or is it the parent who had that child and gets that child up every day for a school? Wealthy parents, they already have a choice when it comes to what their child future looks like, right? If a wealthy family doesn't like the neighborhood school, they can move, they can buy a home in another district, they can pay tuition, they can hire tutors, they can choose private school, boarding school, college prep, but they have a choice. There's options, right? Not just with school, but we know when money is involved and finances and when you are able to live a certain type of life, choices present themselves. And whatever it is that you disagree with or don't necessarily like, you have the ability to make a choice. And that choice that you make is going to determine the future of not just your child, but your family. But when we're talking about the family who lives in the outer city, and when I say outer, rest in peace to Tupac, we're talking about the inner city, but we say outer because the inner city is left out of everything. When we're talking about a family who lives in the outer city in poverty, and they say this school not working for my child, I need another option. Suddenly we want to have a debate about whether she deserves to have that choice. As if majority of our lives, when I say us, I mean Black people overall who have lived in poverty, majority of our choices has not been made by us. Majority of our choices has always been made by the government, right? We already know this, dating back to when welfare started and it pushed the Black man out the household, right? So when you sign that birth certificate and your child is now property of the state. If you're on state assistance for healthcare and EBT, you still don't have a choice. And this isn't a slander because we know what we've been through as a people in this country. We know that we were not given equal opportunities initially and that we have to do what we have to do. But the reality is, when it comes to us as a people, a lot of our lives, there is something or someone or an entity or a branch of government that is constantly and consistently making the choices for us. And that is where today's conversation begin, right? I think that oftentimes we utilize the word choice inappropriately, right? For some families, choice mean which excellent school do we prefer? For other families, choice mean what option my child, which option is best for my child to make it out of these circumstances, right? Growing up, how many people do you know that lived in the same neighborhood as you, but because they had a talent, they were able to go to a school outside of the neighborhood, right? Or that may be the case for you and your family, especially if you have students who play sports, whether it's basketball, football, whether they play volleyball, or if they're simply just in a music program and they have a talent. Some of these schools you couldn't even get into, even some public schools you couldn't get into unless you were picked, right? You had to apply. Similar to Go to My Year, similar to, shout out to my Samuel Morris Middle School alumni, we had to write an essay. We had to have a certain amount of grades and a certain GPA in order to be enrolled inside of the gifted and talented school. If you went to High School of the Arts, you had to have some type of talent in order to get into that school, right? So we still seen some of that inside of the public school system. But for a lot of families who are currently living or has lived in the outer city in poverty, 9 times out of 10, when we say, hey, I need my baby to go to a different school, A, is safety. It's because a lot of times our children's only way out may be a scholarship if they play basketball or football. Not to say that academics isn't important, right? But initially, for a child who is living in the outer city, a child who is mature in their mind, that is in high school specifically, they feel the weight of the world on their shoulders. They feel that's when a child becomes old enough to say, I got to get my mama up out this house. I got to take my family out this hood, right? Basketball is going to take me there. Football is going to take me there. My academics is going to take me there. But if I'm stranded based off of the neighborhood school and I know that I'm smarter than that or there's better resources outside of that, I may not have that opportunity. And these are two different realities, right? Families who can't relocate, families who have transportation barriers. So a lot of people don't understand with some of the private schools and the scholarship and the way that it works, there are more resources as it pertains to covering transportation. Parents working multiple jobs, children who neighborhood schools may not meet their individual needs, children who need smaller environments, discipline, arts, athletics, specialized programming, and the fact that no single educational model works for every child. I am a huge advocate for this because I witnessed it firsthand with my 3 children, right? And it was a very, very difficult time in my life because I was extremely tired, waking up 2.5 to 3 hours early before work just to drive 1.5 hours to drop all 3 of my children off in different to different schools because it did not work for them all to be in one school. They all learned differently. They all had different personalities. They all have different talents, right? It didn't make sense for me. I tried it. I tried the whole, all my children going to the same school. It doesn't work for everybody. So having that choice is why my daughter is able to receive a scholarship and attend Mount Mary University. Having that choice is why my son was second team all conference his freshman year playing basketball at a public school. That choice is why my youngest daughter was able to attend a private school. And now she's on a 5th grade level and she's just now reaching the 4th grade. So when we talk about choices, especially when it comes to the educational piece, I think it's very insulting to take away a choice from a parent who knows what it means for their child or their children to obtain a specific education outside of the norm, outside of their neighborhood. You can't judge people in the way they learn based off of where they live, because that's exactly how it comes out. Because they live in this zip code, because they live in this district, they need to go to this school. Okay, well, if that's the case, then make sure y'all are pouring the resources into that neighborhood school. But what you're not going to do is tell me that my children have to go to a school in a neighborhood that is not even safe for them to walk to school. A neighborhood that, a school, it doesn't even have the resources it need in order to help these babies become successful. You're not going to tell me that I have to do that and not provide an alternative option, right? There has to be an alternative option in order for our babies, specifically Black and brown babies, to be successful. And it's not anyone's fault. Everyone didn't grow up, you know, with things being handed down to them by their families. Everyone does not, is not a trust fund baby, right? We're all trying to figure this thing out. So my call to action is, again, the question, one of the questions I have for you all, did changing schools ever change your life or your child's life? 833-212-1017. How many of y'all went to private school or went to a school outside of your district and it changed your life? We got to go to break. When we come back, I want to deal with something people rarely say out loud. America always has a choice. The question is whether people in poverty should have one too. And I'll explain what that means right after this break. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something to show you how we live.
101.7 The Truth. You are officially tapped in with your girl Jazz Tyler. Welcome back. Milwaukee, before the break, I made a statement that may have bothered some people. I said America always has a school choice, and I stand on that because money has always purchased educational freedom, right? Whether or not our people has access to it is a different conversation. But there's a reason why I'm saying this specifically. Before we went to break, one of the questions that I asked is, did changing schools ever change your life or your child's life? We have a caller on the line. Al, are you there?
Yes. Well, I know when Reagan was in there, you used to be able to go to college for free. And I do know over in Israel, and when the kids are born, they get money that goes into an account until they're 18. So you can either start a business or go to school. But I wanted to ask you a question because I be having these deep-rooted conversations with my friends. This one is sometimes I feel poverty is a mindset, and some people choose to be in poverty. And then the second one is where they always say the government took the man out of the household. Now, I feel like if you have a man, there should be no need for you to be on welfare of any kind. And I understand everybody's situation is different. But when I looked at my mother, when she graduated from high school, she went straight to work. She wasn't playing, waiting, getting no 673 or getting pregnant to get an extra $300 or anything of that nature. And I understand everybody's situation is different. And I understand when my grandfather came down here, he barely had an education, and they had about 14 kids, and she wasn't playing that welfare stuff neither. So I kind of like sometimes when I hear this, people say, well, they say government took the man out the household. Well, I'm like, well, if you have a man and he's making all these kids, why would he want you to go on welfare anyway?
So I will talk about that. Before I do, I want to ask you a question. Has changing schools ever changed your life, Al, or your child's life?
No, because I went to public.
Okay.
But I was always an independent thinker as well.
Got you.
But I'm pretty sure it's better, you know, in private because you know it's more diversity and they do, a little more. But sometimes I feel it is the parents' job to provide the best education within their means, or if there's another opportunity, use that up the other opportunity. Because I mean, white folks use all kind of opportunities. Some of them was even doing welfare fraud, or even down in New Jersey where they was having 7 to 14 kids, and the man was in the house,
absolutely,
and they was on welfare, and none of them was Black,
absolutely,
and they barely could speak English.
I understand that. Thank you so much for calling out.
And they wasn't. And one more thing. And they wasn't Mexican either.
Come on now. Say it.
All right. I'll hang up and listen. Okay.
Thank you so much for tapping in, Al. To your point, you know, I am going to get back to that as far as the comment that Al made regarding, you know, the man being taken out of the household and so on and so on. But before I do, I want to stay on the topic of having that choice, right? If I can afford a $600,000 house in a community with an outstanding school district, I have a choice. If I can write a check for tuition, I have a choice. If my child struggles and I can pay for private tutoring, not the tutoring at the school, but private tutoring 5 days a week, I have a choice. If the school isn't working, I can relocate. I have a choice. So again, maybe the argument has never truly been, should parents have a choice? Maybe the real argument is, should parents without money have the same ability to exercise it? And again, this is based on circumstances. Not everybody has the same circumstances, especially when we're talking different generations. So for example, my mom, she was born in the 50s and grew up in the 60s and 70s. And she went to Keith Avenue Parkman Middle School in Rufus King. And if you lived in that area, that was the rotation for everybody. But this was a time where you could actually go to a public school system. Again, this is no slight to the public school system, but it is the truth. This is a time where you can go to the public schools and have the education that you need. And you were getting hot cooked meals and so on and so on, prior to the funding being removed. Now we're in a completely different time. For those who did go to high school in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, this generation is dealing with something completely different. Not just here in the city of Milwaukee, but throughout this entire country, right? We have families who cannot afford to pay for a private school. They barely can afford to pay their bills due to inflation, due to maybe some bad decisions too. But every family that's in poverty has not necessarily made a bad decision. Especially if you're coming from a family that has nothing to leave you, right? If you're coming from a family where your mom may have not been a teacher and your dad may have not worked at A.O. Smith. You know, everybody's story is different, but at the end of the day, a zip code should not change the type of education that your child needs, that these children need, because at the end of the day, it's about them. They didn't ask to be here. They didn't ask to live in these neighborhoods. They didn't ask to have the life that they have. It's almost as if they don't have a fair shot as soon as they enter this world. And that is a harsh reality for, you know, some of our families and our youth out here. So should parents without money have the same ability to exercise it, right? Choice can't mean lowering standards. Like, we give parents options and then be silent if one of those options fails the child. So it goes both ways, right? For the parents who may be in these circumstances, if you are one of the parents who have the option of sending your child to a private school, make sure that you are utilizing that to the best of your ability. Because there is another family who could be utilizing that, right? Don't take it for granted. Not saying that you have to bow down to the fact that someone gave you an opportunity, but it's one up. You got a leg up, right? Utilize it to make sure that it doesn't make your life harder going forward. Take full advantage of the opportunity. We give parents options and then be silent if one of those options fails the children. If a choice school cannot educate children, parents deserve better. If a charter school can't educate children, parents deserve better. If a traditional public school cannot educate children, parents deserve better. So no matter how you dress it up, it's the same. Doesn't matter if it's private, public, charter, religious, whatever the case may be. The loyalty has to be with the children and not the buildings. We cannot be loyal to a system when it has showed us multiple times that just this one specific system, it does not work for everybody. We've seen it throughout the entire 2 to 3 decades. I am someone who went to public school. I've never been to a private school, never been to a charter school. I went to public schools. And I truly believe that my generation probably was the last to fully experience MPS for what it was known for in the 90s and the 2000s. I don't understand why there is an issue to have multiple options. If they bring up the taxes and all of that stuff, come on, y'all know these people get tax credits? Like, stop playing. Stop playing with me. For real. There should not be any type of back and forth when it comes to a child's education. It should not, you should not be able to negotiate a child's education based off of where they live. Because the truth of the matter is, that's exactly what's happening. When we're talking about removing parent choice, school choice, any of those choices, you are making a conscious decision to say, I know what's best for you and your family more than you know. I'm doing this because I'm trying to make sure we save money on the back end, even though this other system has proven multiple times that they cannot serve the masses of the people at the rate that they would like to. As somehow we have to find a solution that says, well, we have found a solution. We have to find a better solution when it comes to the public school system. And we have to maintain this choice program so that families can have a way out. That is the bottom line. A lot of our babies are highly intelligent. And then they go to school and they be all over the place and they say they got ADHD. Put them on medication and slow them down. No. They're bored because 9 times out of 10, they understand this in a way that they don't understand, if that makes sense. And then that causes boredom and that causes them not to want to participate in school. So instead of us sending them to a school that meets their expectations, education-wise, academic-wise, on top of the sports, we send them to the school counselor who then sends them to a therapist who diagnosed them with ADHD or ADD and then puts them on medicine to slow them down to make sure that everybody in that building is on the same plane. This is the system that we are talking about. That is the reality. That's coming from a mother who has 3 children that was in school, an educator, and someone who was also a part of this system as far as a public school system. We got to go to break, but I want to bring sports into this conversation because when we talk about school choice, everybody talks about test scores. But if your child's pathway to college starts on a basketball court, a football field, a track, a stage, or in a music studio, is opportunity a part of the educational piece, right? And I know this is going to resonate with a lot of y'all, especially if you are a parent who has a child that plays sports or you are a parent who used to play sports. When we come back, let's talk about it. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. When I walk up in the peace, I ain't got any speed. I'm a bad man, my jumper got dirty, y'all people ain't got it like me. 101.7 The Truth, it's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in. Welcome back. Before we went to break, we were talking about education and having a choice of the school that your child goes to, the importance of it. Now, this is where the educator in me really wants people to listen, because every child is not going to arrive at an opportunity through the same door. Every opportunity is not going to be given to the same child. Some children have to work harder than others. Before we jump into that, I got a shout out to all of my listeners out there. Please do not forget to like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth. Shout out to the chat. Felix said, my son did great last year in MPS High School. And before some of my family members saying, oh, no, don't go there. It's blah, blah, blah. It wasn't. It was great. And he's looking forward to going back. I am proud of him. You know, I have my daughter just graduated from an MPS school, but she did 3 years at a charter school, and I actually enjoyed both of the combinations. The charter school education was top tier for sure. The MPS, not so much, but the resources that they had. If there's a way we can combine all, man, listen, I'm all for it. But as I was stating, when we're talking about giving opportunities to children, right? We love telling children that education is key, but education is bigger than just a textbook. Sometimes a coach sees something in a child that nobody else sees, right? Sometimes music is what keeps that child coming back to school. And I know that firsthand as a music educator. Having a studio inside of that school, I can't tell you how many youth we have saved from being out on the streets just because they know when they go to school, they have something to look forward to. Sometimes basketball gets a young person into college where academics eventually will change their life. Sometimes it's theater, debate, robotics, band, film, entrepreneurship, all of the above, right? The activity may be the doorway. Education is what happens after they walk through the doorway. So when we're talking about athletes and we're talking about having a choice of what school they should be able to go to, right? Think about a child who can run, throw, shoot, wrestle, volleyball, all of that, right? And then think about the resources that comes with it, the coaching, the exposure, the facilities, right? Relationships, adults. We all know, we say this saying all the time, it's not what you know, but who you know. So if you are keeping students and youth trapped in the very environment that's making them sick to begin with, what do you expect? How do you expect for them to be successful? Again, this is not going back to, hey, we shouldn't have a choice because of poverty, right? We're saying we're not totally blaming everything on poverty, but these are the circumstances. This is the reality. A lot of the students who benefit from this choice program live in the outer city. They're left out of everything. This may be their only chance to make a great life for them and for their family. At the end of the day, I know we all know one person. If it wasn't you, I know you know one person who went to the, who was in the same neighborhood as you, but could hoop his butt off, or he could play football so well and try doing it in the public school system. But it didn't work. So he had to go to a Martin Luther, right? Or they had to go to another school, a different private school, in order to obtain those resources and to build those relationships. Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of our students, again, this is coming from personal experience. Both of my children play basketball at the highest level. My daughter team went to state probably the past 5 to 6, 7 years in a row. She's played upstate, right? And I know charter schools are a little different because they still kind of operate off of MPS, but it's not. It's different. Callie, my youngest, she went to a private school in New Berlin. That her time there has put her above any other student in her class because of the education and the resources. And when we're talking specifically about athletes, I want to paint this picture for you. Think about your favorite athlete. And I want you to think about what high school they went to. And then think about if they transferred from their high school and went to a prep school, which is a private school. Hello. Then they went off to college. Then they went off to the NBA or the WNBA. Obviously, we know not everybody is going to make it. But the goal is to get them through the threshold by getting them into college. I guarantee you, a lot of the best to ever do it did not stay at the school that they were at. They had to leave and go to a better school with better resources. A, so that they can focus. B, so that they can be safe. Because a lot of, imagine the neighborhood that you grew up in. And imagine we were living in these times right now. Let's say I grew up on 14th of Burleigh. If I needed to go to elementary school, my neighborhood school would be La Follette. If I was a child right now and I was growing up on 14th of Burleigh, my elementary neighborhood school would be La Follette. If I needed to go to a middle school, I don't even know what the closest middle school is over there. High School North Division. You can do that exercise around any neighborhood in the city of Milwaukee. in the outer city of Milwaukee. That's a reality. Can you imagine if you lived in that neighborhood and your child, that means no transportation because they have to walk to school. It's in walking distance. Would you feel comfortable with your child walking to your neighborhood school? Would you feel comfortable with your child sitting down in a school that has no air conditioning or lunch that looks like jail food? Are you comfortable with your child having books that your grandmama probably had when she went to that school? We're talking about access and resources. We're not talking about capitalizing off the babies. We're just saying access and resources. So back to the sports in particular, right? And for some families, we're going to be honest, an athletic scholarship isn't simply a trophy. It could be the only realistic way that that family can afford college. So by granting the parents the opportunity to have a choice and to make that choice and say, you know what? I see something in my child that's bigger and greater than their environment and their circumstances. And I refuse to let my child be a statistic. Therefore, I'm going to work twice as hard. Let me change this narrative for those who say the parents who want to blame it on the parents that's in poverty. I'm going to work two jobs to make sure that I can send my child to a private school, right? Yes, they get a scholarship with the choice, but guess what? There's still fees, especially if they need before and aftercare. They have to pay for before care, aftercare. And when you go to a private school, it covers the tuition, but it's not covering, again, those additional fees. So now you're in a position, okay, you know what? I'm going to work two jobs. I'm going to take this check and I'm going to pay for gas to go back and forth 30 to 40 minutes away or to make sure that the transportation is set up. They don't have free lunches. So let me make sure I'm paying for my children to eat that lunch too. The uniform fees, the school fees. There's fees on top of. So this idea to the citizens who disagree with the choice program based off of who has to pay for it, taxpayer dollars, these parents are still paying. They're still paying fees. The only thing that's covered is the tuition. There's still other fees that has to be paid. So you're taking your child and putting them in an environment because, A, you love them. I did that for my children. I don't want my children wrapped up in street nonsense. I don't want them to die. I want to teach them how to live. I want them to know that their talents and their gifts can take them wherever it is that they want to go. And that can't be subjective to a district line or a zip code or a neighborhood or an address or my skin color. It cannot be based off of that. This scholarship, no debt, a degree, a network, a career, a different economic plan for the entire family, right? This is very, 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 very important. And again, don't take it out of context. If it doesn't fly, apply, let it fly. We're not saying that, hey, in order for my child to be successful, especially as an athlete, they have to go to a private school. We're saying that we know it's hard to raise our children in the environment that made us sick while keep them safe, while keep them fed, while keep them focused around these distractions. We need, when we see something in our babies, we want them to have a better life than us. So some of us has to make decisions. Hey, this school ain't going to work. This public school system is not going to work for my child. I need to send them somewhere else. As long as they can stay focused and what they're good at, their gifts will make way for them. But if they don't have the choice to make from the begin with, you are already setting them up for failure. You can dress it however you want. And I get it. You have to try and appease certain people, right? But the reality is no one suffers more than the child. While the adults are bickering, going back and forth, no one suffers more. And when we're talking about pulling that choice, understand that it affects legacy too. There's people who fought for this. There are people, and we're going to be joined by one at 5 o'clock, Dr. Howard Fuller. So there is no more back and forth about opinions. We're going to talk about facts directly from somebody who was a part of making this happen, right? When we come back, before Dr. Howard Fuller joins us at 5, I want to talk about the name you cannot leave out of Milwaukee school choice history, Polly Williams, the legendary Polly Williams. Because before school choice became a national political football, there were black parents demanding power over their children's education. That history matters, and we'll talk about it when we come back from break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. I like that, y'all. I like that. You like, I like that, y'all. I like that, like that. One on 1.7 The Truth with your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in. Shout out to all the listeners. Make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Shout out to the chat. Felix said, MPS offers it is called People's Program. It's advanced if your child is bored, and this program will prepare you for college. Yes, I am familiar with that too. And I don't want to make it seem as if this is a battle between a charter, private, and MPS. These are just facts. Again, these are choices, right? If we're going to talk about school choice, honestly, in Milwaukee, we have to talk about where this fight came from, right? Long before today's campaign ads, before Republicans and Democrats turned education into another battlefield, families in Milwaukee were asking, why should families in poverty in the outer city be trapped by where they live, right? And one of the most important names in this fight was the late Polly Williams. The reason why this is important is because we all know that without the correct information, we cannot make correct decisions. And what I mean by that is a lot of people are familiar with the choice program, but they don't understand how it started. This is where we go wrong as black people, right? When we allow someone to tell us their opinion on why they should remove this option based off of taxpayers' dollars, they're also not mentioning that they are completely dismantling an entire legacy. And y'all know how I feel about legacy. If you don't, go back. Go back to a few clips. Rewind these shows back. Let's talk about it. There is people who put in work to make sure that we have an option based off of the information that they were receiving from the black families in the city of Milwaukee. So for those who are not aware, Miss Polly Williams, the late great, may she rest in peace, was a woman of many things, but she was an elected official from Milwaukee who served 10 terms as a Democratic Party member of the Wisconsin State Assembly. She was active in civic affairs, serving on the board of or advisory council of such organizations as Urban Day, Inner City Council of Alcoholism, the Wisconsin Health Systems Agency, Women's Black Women's Network, Wisconsin Black Women's Network, Central City Bicycle Safety Program, Family Services of Milwaukee, and the Wisconsin Black Women's Assembly in 1975. She became the secretary of the Northside Unit of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, moving up to first vice president in 1977. And in 1980, she won the Democratic nomination in what was the 17th Assembly District by a vote of 1,291 to 762. Not only did she do that, but she was the first advocate, the first freedom fighter for this choice program. And what she did was worked alongside Governor Tommy Thompson, former Governor Tommy Thompson, to get this approved, and with the advocacy of Dr. Howard Fuller and others as well. So when we talk about, again, the choice program, we're talking about people who stood toe to toe. This is in the late 80s and the early 90s. Think about that climate. Think about what the environment was like, what the culture was like, who was in office, not just at a state level or a city level, but a national level. Think about the state of our people. Think about the state of the leaving out of the crack era, coming into welfare. Let me set the scene for you. understand what we were dealing with during this time. And when you go back to think about that, you'll understand that we are still dealing with the same things to this day. It's just dressed up a little differently. So let me give you a little background information. And I have to do this because I know that this is going to impact somebody out there somewhere. And if you don't feel like being educated on it or you don't have time to look it up, I'm going to tell you. That's what I do. That's what I'm here for. Right? Let's talk about it. So Wisconsin is home to the nation's oldest private voucher program, the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. It was created with bipartisan support in 1990 and now provides education option to almost 30,000 students in Wisconsin's largest city, which is the city of Milwaukee. So let me paint the picture for you. In 1990, this program was conceived actually in 1989 in response to Milwaukee families who felt failed by the education status quo. The program was very controversial and faced heavy criticism. School choice champions such as Polly Williams, Gary George, Susan Mitchell, and Dr. Howard Fuller fought tirelessly on behalf of Milwaukee families. And in the end, they succeeded. In 1998, fast forward 8 years later, they were able to include the religious school. So for those who go to a Martin Luther or a Heritage Christian, right? These private schools are a part of that program. These private schools are a part of that program that was implemented in 1989. In 2002, the school choice spreads, right? Milwaukee school choice model quickly became replicated across the nation. By 2010, years after it was created, Florida, Ohio, and Arizona had all created a school choice program. That program started right here with Polly Williams. Again, going back to 1990, why did she create this? Because she had been receiving information from families, specifically families in the outer city, who were not satisfied with the education system within this city that was being presented to them and their children. And there was nobody else who would fight for this. So she went and got her team. It was people that she probably met along the way, and they did what they had to do. Now, during this time, Dr. Howard Fuller ended up becoming the superintendent of the Milwaukee public school system. Right? So that's interesting. You know why it's interesting? Because as a superintendent of Milwaukee public school system and someone, an advocate to fight for a school choice, he still understood that work had to be done within that system. So he placed himself in a position to where he could become the superintendent to work on that. And Polly, hey, we got this out the way. Let's work on that too. But at the end of the day, there are two options. Families have options. And whichever choice you choose, we want to make sure that both systems work for you. That is the point that we're missing. The point that we're missing is it's becoming a blame game. MPS isn't doing this. We don't want school choice because of that. How do you make both systems work? Why should families and children have to pay because one system is failing them? Why should they be responsible for that? So when we're talking about dismantling the choice program, we're talking about dismantling an entire legacy. I could understand more if we've reached a point in our education system to where we can honestly say, hey, we may not need it as much anymore because we've built up the public school system so great to the point that they have the same, if not exact similar, resources that these private schools have. But to my knowledge, that is not the case, which is why, again, it's extremely important for us to be able to have a choice. These choices matter. When we're talking about the youth and the rate that they're going, we're talking about everything that's happening in this city. You have to understand that education is a part of it. The entire education system is a part of this as well. And we have to figure out a way to make both of these systems work. I'm not about dismantling the legacy of someone who purposely put us in a position to win. I'm not about that life. I'm about adding on to the legacy and figuring out how to continue to make it work. But I can't be a supporter in disrupting the legacy of Polly Williams or Dr. Howard Fuller or any other person who came before us to make sure that we have a choice. If that means I'm on a back burner, if I'm the black sheep, hey, I'll be it. But at the end of the day, we all deserve a choice. Especially if you laid in that hospital bed and you pushed out that baby, you have a choice. If you're feeding that child every day, you have a choice. You're the doctor, the mother, the nurse, the father, the caretaker, you're everything. You have a choice. And you have to understand that your choice and your voice matters. When we return, Dr. Howard Fuller will join me. We're going to talk about the late, great Polly Williams. We're going to talk about school choice, public schools, politics, accountability. That's what we're talking about today, right? Accountability. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. At the 5 o'clock hour, we will be joined by the legendary Dr. Howard Fuller. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.